as well get going here. Let's read the minutes. All present. We didn't have to give you a wake-up call today.
No.
That was good. You know it's bad when I got a wake-up call in my boat one day when I was fishing. Good.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 How's the new truck running?
I got to ride.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Mass Waterworks is $75. Holy Christ. Have we been using Mass Waterworks to get any of the hours to get stuff done?
Yeah.
How's the new job, Bob?
You know, there's been a sandwich truck parked in front of your house.
Yes, there has.
For a while.
Small town stuff.
Inside joke. Do you live over there, Steve? Oh, in East Hamlet?
It's all one.
Yep. I was over there most of the morning doing inspections in East Hamlet. Yeah.
All right, Jen. Spend some more money. I see one in here. I have to push that on.
So the only...
You got to turn that on, I think.
Red.
Is it red or is it green for dough?
Unless you need batteries. Oh, that's working.
Yep.
Nice.
So the water quality report that you have in there is for the MTBEs. No detects again this quarter. The byproduct testing was done in November, and the results were all lower than last year this time. Once we do the chlorine samples in December and send in the last quarterly report, that should be the last quarterly byproduct testing we have to do. We should be able to go annually after that. That's all
nice
I have for water quality.
Get rid of Chris.
Do you think you can do all those reports instead of Chris now?
Get rid of Chris. Pretty good. He looks a lot better than Chris.
Superintendent report?
Yeah.
Standing in for superintendent's report, Jen.
How are you doing on that?
We had one new service installation this month over in Catuit Meadows. We had two sideline repairs, one on Main Street, and we removed the old service at the Cahoon Museum, cut and capped that. The AT&T check for the lease that we were missing in October arrived mysteriously in November, so we are caught up with the AT&T lease.
Good.
Members from MEMA and FEMA and GZA came and met with Chris and did a site review for the Station 5 generator Tuesday. It was a good sign that they came and did an on-site visit. Chris feels pretty good that we'll be accepted for the grant application for the generator at Station 5. He did get his new truck, as you noticed. It needs to go out and have the lettering done, and we're hoping to do that when he's on vacation next week, but he's waiting to hear back from the company if they can get him in next week, and that will be done. And we signed an agreement with Tater and Howard to update the emergency response plan, and he signed that and executed that agreement yesterday, so that's going in.
All right, thanks, Jen. You did good.
Thank you.
Russ, you are next on the agenda, you guys. You want to do to switch it around, or you want to... All right. Yeah, you can slide up here. Get one of these. Steve, you met
Don
Campbell.
Big Master. Good to meet you.
And Jim, our new superintendent. I hope Chris reads this.
Just a real 30-second introduction. There's a long running history with the open cable. I'm not going to go into the details, but they do have new management that is quite motivated from to complete their endeavors. Executive Director. We've been speaking with him for the last month or two about some project going on, what our expectations are, what his expectations are, with the hopes to reach a mutual agreement, which it, hopefully from what you're about to hear, I think we're getting much closer. So with that, Stephen Johnson.
Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I realize it's been a long process, and when I got that kid 2 months ago, I took a call. That you dove into, and this shouldn't have taken so long. So my goal is to kind of move this process forward. So in talking with Russell and looking through the file, I understand, you know, my goal is to get the microwave up on the water power, is the last piece, and that work. Mm-hmm.
that is critically important for the public safety.
Public safety initiative.
Yeah, there's going to be that storm that comes your 200 poles. And the way it's set up to work is the entire load of the actual fiber optic network will shift so to the microwave network so that public service, fire safety, EMS can certainly communicate during any sort of outage. Our system's fairly redundant, so it would have to be a pretty significant storm, but we want to be prepared. I know.
I certainly don't want to get those calls. You guys don't want to get those calls. But
it's a relatively simple process to move it forward. As part of this arrangement, you guys wanted to connect your five wells, and I was looking through some initial documents and talking to Chris. I actually saw an initial quote from, I think it was through CapeNet, through Certex, to the Cascada system to hook up the wells, and it was in excess of $200,000. And I was
just a clarification: was it to hook up, or was it just to run the infrastructure to the sites? And then that cost of hooking up, the person that comes and plugs it in.
Yeah, I believe it was for building the infrastructure and.
Some sort of access, at least the equipment, I don't know if it was actually through that service. But it was a lot of shocking and a lot of fun. As part of my initial 3 or 4 months at the KFB, we've been really looking hard at our partners as far as who's doing what for us, how to save costs, drive prices lower, and as of that, we've been using Brian Hopkins as a contract. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it at all.
They built the Barnstable Fiber Network, Brewster, the name of the company is Comtrack, C-O-M-M-T-R-A-C-T. Google Fiber actually flew Brian out to the West Coast for a couple months to help them do consulting on their Google Fiber initiative in Kansas City, and so he knows fiber inside and out. I went to Brian to bid this out, and I told Alan at CapeNet and Certex that Brian would be doing the work on this if we decided to move forward. And he went out and did the initial survey, and again, he didn't get into the nuts and bolts like he would without. But
he gave us a very
respectable, I think, estimate
of what it would cost
to hook up
these five wells and get you service back to the main
office.
And also the same tank.
And the same
tank. Exactly, up behind there.
What's his? West Creek tank, yes. Yeah, so
Seven sites.
Exactly.
And the initial quote, so a couple things here I'll share with you. The initial quote, the first page, was what if we had done everything the exact same way that Certex had quoted it out? And the shocking things that I saw on this, obviously the price tag is still higher than I would like to see at $175,000 to hook up all those wells. Mm-hmm. But the real problem here that I saw is this first red line right here, the make ready on the poles. As this section of the highway is some of the most heavily utilized poles out there, the make-ready is staggering on these poles. And so besides the initial cost, it's the time frame to get the make-ready done. And these are real time frames. I'm seeing them every day with projects that we're doing. 1.5 to 2 years to get the make-ready completed. And if you're not familiar with make-ready, you guys know how that all works. Let me just give you a quick primer. Let me just grab my piece of fiber. If you haven't seen a piece of So this is a piece of, it's called 144-strand fiber. So each one of these strands, there's 12 of them in here, and each one of these, inside them is each one of these tiny little strands of fiber. Yeah. So that's one strand of fiber right there. Pretty much that little piece of glass, and this is glass, can carry all the data and cell phone calls and everything we do on the Cape in one day, just on this little piece of glass. So
when you get a T1 line, what is that?
A T1 line is
one of those little.
Not even. No. A T1, I didn't bring my copper.
Oh,
and
okay.
And so as we move away from copper technologies that are limit our, we move into fiber. Fiber is kind of the thing that makes the Open Cape network unique. It is an end-to-end fiber network. It was purposely built to be all fiber. So unlike other networks that are a mixture of copper or analog or other scenarios, whether you're talking Fios or Comcast, this is from Boston to P-Town, back across the Cape, out to the Vineyard, out to Nantucket, across the railroad bridge through Fall River, New Bedford, out to Providence. So the interesting thing is we have what's called a truly diverse path. Because if something happens in Boston and we leave our connection, we continue to have a connection through Providence. So you're never down, really, unless we have a massive version.
How does that know? When you put a camera at this one station and you have that fiber, you connect to this one?
Yep, this one. Strand.
Is that exact strand, the one that goes to the Katuit office? Is that how that signal?
We actually, believe it or not, we actually segment. So what I'm going to propose to you guys is that we actually give you 6 of these strands that will allow you to hook up all your sites, and that you would own them in perpetuity, whether 10, 20 years down the road, if someone acquires Open Cape or whatever, your IRU would own these strands. And you could pretty much do whatever you want with them. And that's kind of like the agreement we have with NSTAR. You know, in order to get up on 12,000 poles on the Cape, we gave NSTAR 12 strands. So that, as you can see, there's no metal in this fiber at all. It's just special fiber. So up on the poles, we're in what's called the power gain. Above the comms. So if you look on the poles, you'll see there was this yellow tag. Hmm. We're up high on the Everstar poles, and that allowed us to get on 12,000 poles in less than 2 years and not have to pay a shockingly large amount of make-ready. We still have to pay make-ready. What make-ready is, when I refer to it, is if you look at a telephone pole, you'll never look at a telephone pole again after tonight. You see all this.
you do.
So you see all the fiber on the bottom. You see Verizon. Probably Barnstable County fiber, maybe some fire alarm stuff or things like that. So when we're doing things, we have to maybe make ready, and that means if we're making space on the pole, that Verizon has to go and move their stuff. Mm-hmm. Then Comcast has to go and move their stuff. Mm-hmm. Then the Barnstable has to go and move their stuff. Every time that happens, there's a cost associated with it. So it's a colossal pain in the butt. Takes forever. There's quite a few poles here. There's 39 poles in one segment that we would have to do.
From
Matthew, it's simply like this area right here through here. There's almost 39 poles in there, believe it or not.
Just from this well over
just here. In this one section right here.
I didn't even know Verizon had fiber on the Cape.
Yeah, so Verizon is very selective in terms of how they're running their fiber. They're doing it basically totally on density, where there's enough individuals to warrant. That's the whole purpose of Open Cape, is that, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, if you needed additional bandwidth and you lived in a certain area of the Cape, you know, Comcast and Verizon were saying, no, we're simply not investing in infrastructure.
Yeah.
Since Open Cape arrived, one of the huge benefits is now you see Comcast Link fiber everywhere, and Verizon's doing it. So it becomes a process. Totally like, well, there's no metal in it at all. And that's why we can be up in the power game, because it will not conduct electricity from the power down to the lower levels. So on the national grid poles off Cape, we couldn't get that deal. So we're down on what's called the comms.
So I notice everything's called coordinated, so do we have distinct...
You literally, we would assign you, like, blue 1 through 6, or, you know, and those would be your fibers. And believe it or not, they literally, they splice the glass, and that's what's called when they splice it. They take the glass, they splice it into the main line. You can only do it at splice points. It's not, it's different from coax, where you just cut it and spin it on, and boom, you're done.
Yeah.
You have to go back to splice points. So sometimes, like, you might be, people call me all the time, like, I can see the pole right outside my window. But the splice point is 1,000 feet down the street or, more. So we have to run it from the splice point.
Yeah.
And to run fiber, the cost, this is, I'm not kidding around when I say this, it's $55,000 a mile to run fiber. That costs getting the fiber, buying the fiber, getting the fiber up there.
$10 a foot.
Yeah. And paying all the credit costs. So it's incredibly expensive.
That's just about it. Electric costs, what it costs to run.
Right. So to kind of get to the chase here, what I kind of... What I thought was, let's look at this third sheet, which has a much better looking number. And I'll tell you why it's a much better looking number. Two things to point out on the sheet is the total is $114,000, mm-hmm. and the time of completion is 60 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So what we're proposing we do is... in this section right here where our fiber comes right down on the map, big map, I can bring a big map. But this somewhere here in this section here, we actually replaced our fiber with a new strand. So we're running a piece of fiber just like this, 144 strand fiber. We're going to cut out a section and put a new piece in there that has more strands in it. We'll go to like 172 strands.
Hmm.
We'll give you your your six strands, it doesn't impact our load at all. And I know it sounds crazy when you've got all that fiber, but maintaining your fiber is the number one issue, because down the road you will need it. So doing things to maintain your fiber. And what that does is allows us to utilize the make ready we've already done. We're just going to swap out a piece of fiber. Yeah. It's like we're going to take a smaller pipe and a bigger pipe in the same spot.
Yeah.
We're paying the make ready that I'm already paying. I'm paying the pole fees. There's no engineering. There's no nothing. I don't even need to request it. I can just take the trucks out there. We can have it done. Boom. So that's where there's a huge saving. We're saving probably close to $100,000 in make-ready fees when you look at it. Doing it that way. I was already absorbing some of them in the first point, but now I'm absorbing a lot more of them, but I'm paying those already. So there's no sense in making you guys pay those as well. So that becomes a huge saving, time saving. The other thing we can talk more about, number even lower, is like down here where is this the cell tower you're pulling out? Is that correct?
That's correct. That's
coming up.
The tank that's coming down is not going back up. This is the one that's going to be going back up.
Right. So
next to one, number three.
Now there's a pole here that comes in. There's a pole in there that comes in, which we'd have to license to get to that pole. But there's a couple scenarios that we can do in here. For example, this is your, if we can trench in there, and I don't even know if that's possible. But we don't have to be down very deep, 24 inches, that's it.
I would think you could. There's not much other than the water main.
There's considerable cost savings that we can have by not having to put in poles, go up on other poles, come in other ways. And that also applies, once Brian gets down there. But he made to mention to me, he goes, there's a couple different routes. Like this piece of land right here that comes in, I don't know if you own that piece of land coming in. But there's possible ways for us to come in there, too. It makes it even easier.
I believe there's, correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a water easement that comes through where that main is? It comes straight through? I believe there
through,
is.
Right across the street from the water department. I think there is.
I think there is, too.
Okay. So, we figured there was more opportunities to get in here once we really get into it and look at it. And I didn't want to have Brian send his guys.
Just to get you back over to our side of the street.
Well, I'm talking to get to these wells to hook up. It's all about the most efficient way to hook up these wells.
Right.
And if we can, whether you guys can do it, if you want to trench something and it's relatively simple, it saves money. And I'm looking to save you as much money as I possibly can.
Well, what do you trench with, a rough chain, or do you?
No, we just moved some fiber yesterday at Open Cape headquarters, and we literally just brought the backhoe in and, 24 inches down, literally 24 inches down. Put the fiber in, and then we put a piece of tape on top of it.
So
you know. Well, yeah, because we can use different fiber. That's the other thing. We can use fiber so it's traceable.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
not, we put a piece of, mule tape on it that has metal in it so you can trace it so you know where it is.
Okay. So it sounds like a meeting with this fellow Brian so he can get a lay of the land. Because I don't know how much, for example, how much clearing you'd have to do if you went through here, how easy it is to get it in there to ride this. See, there is an old, I believe, a fire road here that runs down through one of these areas to the tank. So
exactly. We'd have to get him in here, and I didn't want to have him take his time for the initial, but he's incredibly knowledgeable. This is a very accurate estimate. They really know what they're doing. I've walked up back to this tower, and I know you've worked your ways three quarters of the way down to the office through the woods. There's that big hill out back.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways we can get right down through there. There's a bunch of different ways that we can even be more.
It's already set up over there.
Yeah, there may be conduit in there.
Yeah, sorry, conduit.
Okay.
Conduit.
I thought the conduit only went.
The 10-inch main from the tank down here.
Did it go all the way to the building?
No, I think he left it on the top.
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down
the
hill. Okay. So if what I'm proposing sounds interesting to you guys and feels like it makes sense, I can get Brian down here this month, have him do detailed drawing plans, specifics with actual final costs. You guys can look about, talk about, and go through it. But this was kind of the best, what I thought was the best scenario to move forward.
And that's including now other fees we talked about potential for, monthly fees you mentioned. Is there an occurrence with that, or what was your plan?
So there was Kristen.
Russell talked to me, one of them helped me,
the other one punched me, about not spending extra fees. So here's my solution on fees. We will hook you guys up to what's called the Regional Wide Area Network. If you're probably familiar with that, Of the Cape, working with the Cape Cod Commission. Cape Cod Commission is actually funding it. It is basically a wide area network that schools and municipalities can hook up to. Like Sandwich DPW is hooked up to it. Sandwich High School, High School. Pretty much every town has entities hooked up to it. Basically, it's free internet. And it's fast. It's 2.5 gigabytes, so it's super fast, actually. All it is simple plugging into a port on a machine that we put in your office. And you would have access, free access. There's no cost at all, you guys, as long as the commission keeps paying it. Right now, they're scheduled to be paying it for 3 years. And then beyond that, the goal is to make it so valuable the commission will continue to pick that up. And I'm working with the commission. That's your best way to get spend no money. And that'll include, so you'll have your own kind of loop where all your wells are hooked up, everything's hooked up, you can hook up your cameras, you can do whatever you want. The savings that we've established here, you can get the equipment that you need to do other things, and then you're not paying ongoing monthly access fees. The only fee that you might have down the road is if something happens, excavator cuts the line someplace, yeah, or something happens and you need some service, and certainly we can, contracts can service it and come in, there'd be a fee to it, but that's just what it is.
So if a contractor comes and puts this right here, do you have to go back to a splice point?
We do have to go back to a splice point.
Okay, nobody's listening.
So
I was going to ask the same question.
We do it all the time. You're recording where your fiber is. You've got the new tape in there. And also, typically, when we bury the fiber, put in some stone, and then I think it's 12 inches above that. We've got another piece of tape says
metal tape.
There's fiber here.
Yeah.
Stop digging, dummy.
Yeah.
Put in colored markers, see on gas lines. Things are relatively inexpensive. Have a guy put them every 100 feet.
Yeah.
You're out there where it's nicely. So just so there's no confusion what's out there on the ground. That's something the department can do very easily.
So what's the life on this stuff?
The life on that is probably 50 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the physical life's probably 50, but the technology, what do you...
Well, so the great thing about this is, so when we built the network and I wasn't there, so I can't take credit for it, they did an incredibly good job. They future-proofed it in the sense of, as I'm looking at the direction of Open Cape, we have to do a better job of offering service to people.
Sure.
Like right now, we're looking at how to hook up every municipal building, every building, every residence. So looking at the lifespan from that standpoint, scalable, they say internet traffic's going to double every 5 years at least. This is totally scalable too. Right now, I can throw out a bunch of numbers that really wouldn't have much, impact on you, but from a scalable standpoint, half a terabyte is up to 5 terabytes, which is a massive amount of load.
Mm-hmm.
I have four of those coming over the bridge, two of them that I'm not using. So I have 288 strands coming across the bridge, which is a massive number, more than probably we'll ever need.
Mm-hmm.
And on all the blocks, on all the holes, if you see that, there'll be a black block with a hole, and then there's another hole underneath it. For another one, we negotiated that right with NSTAR. So down the road, future-proofing to make the network totally expandable.
Good.
This may parallel nicely. We had a meeting a few weeks ago. Our SCADA expert programmer came up from his New York office. He's the whole Chatham system and the fiber optic system. Our initial discussion was on the fiber optic, the security cameras on all the sites. Some sites may need one camera, some sites may need two cameras. Then we started looking more at the SCADA system. We know that Kikua's been having problems with the radio signals, for example, with the antennas. That have some, it turns out the frequency you're on is not the high penetration strength that can go through the trees. So we had a discussion of what if we switch over to cellular communications. You have a good signal at each station. With the fiber optics being there, the main SCADA can be run on fiber optics and the backup can be on a cellular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small antenna that gets mounted right on top. And to do all this stuff now, it's not, once the infrastructure's in, you're not running more. This is all programming and it's all relatively minor cost for these things. He did make mention that some of the radio equipment you have now, for example, the programmable logic controller, the PLC, the brain of the SCADA system that tells when tanks and pumps are turned on and off, it's no longer made. You can't get replacement parts for it, so you have some outdated equipment.
Thanks for a long time.
So this might be a good opportunity. The way I would say this is, A, let's get the infrastructure in the ground first. Mm-hmm. Let's get it in there, get it done. Start talking about what kind of cameras we want to get. It could be $500 to $5,000 each. Most sites might be maybe three cameras the absolute most, depending on what you want for coverage. It was our recommendation to, once the infrastructure is put in the ground, just do a design study. And I don't call it, it's not a study, it's a design study. It's each station, how many cameras do you want, how much coverage do you want, what type of cameras do you want just motion activated, do you want vehicles, you know, what, just the certain parameters, we can help you through all those things. And then move it up the SCADA. Do you want to switch over to cellular for a backup? So we get all that order, we get all that squared away, we order all the parts and pieces. Sounds like when the time comes to connect this cameras to the infrastructure, the coordination there.
Yeah, it's relatively simple.
Which is by that time, the hard work's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the budget we have, the remaining $180,000, it should be enough to,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
To get this done.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to drive the price down.
So my question was, and not that it would be a deal breaker, the whatever the fee would be, if it came out the emission side of the
sure.
Just so I know, that I don't like surprises.
No, I totally get it. And I'm not trying to be cagey or evasive here. The price that we is going to be dramatically different. Like, I'll give you an example right now.
For a gigabit of service right now, for any business, you're probably going to pay somewhere $400, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm. 2 years. My goal is that we have those numbers. My goal is to be able to offer individuals. That's kind of
a homeowner.
Yeah, because Cape in general the economy doesn't work like other places, even off Cape. You know, you've got 20 businesses on the Cape that have more than 250 employees. The majority of businesses are small businesses, 10 or less employees. Mm-hmm. What business do you know? I'll give you the perfect example. We just quoted a job, Certex quoted it for Allen at CapeNet over in the industrial park in Hyannis. It was 78 feet from the fiber line to the building and 225 feet running inside some conduit that was already there into a closet where the equipment was. The connection cost was $9,875. Mm. Who has that sort of money to spend for small business? We got Brian to come and quote it, $3,800.
Wow.
So that's a huge savings, and that's why he's going to be doing most of our work going forward. So.
We have the license agreements that we had originally.
Yeah. We're going to have to make some adjustments to that, because what I'm proposing now is...
We would actually be giving you some strands in perpetuity. So
You know, and the great thing about that for you guys that you don't even think about right now is, you know, you've got these strands of fiber, and if something happens over here, or if you want to add something... It's your fiber. You can do whatever you want with it. You know, you want to hook up a tower, you want to do this, you want to do that. You own the fiber. You own kind of that. That is your. So, again, and that would be in perpetuity. So,
you're going to revise it.
We would revise this. If this is the direction you guys tell me you want to move in, this is what I'm proposing we do. I get Brian down here over the next month to do a detailed analysis and pricing out. Okay, so that he has those numbers. Then we submit that to you guys. You take a look at it. You discuss it. You decide on it if that's what you want to do. At the same time, I can be working on a revised contract that will amend, you know, the six strands of fiber, perpetuity, the connection to the RAN, things like that.
Okay.
And not that I'm trying to make more legal work for anyone.
No.
But it's...
There was corrections in this already anyways that
Chris and I went back and forth and said to Russell about what, you know, I was trying to find the most recent version of the contract, and even our attorneys at Nutter McClellan, they weren't sure they had the most recent one.
Once you have the plans developed and we all agree, would that be an attachment to the contract? Could we reference those?
Yeah, sure.
You know, my concern is that
you know,
having all seven sites listed, you know, so you can make reference to that, having the main office. I'm assuming this doesn't have the other tank sites just because it's still preliminary or fiber runs right by it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it's just kind of gives the overview of what it costs to get there.
Yeah.
Not to get too far down in the weeds, but would you kind of strategically locate our splice points in here so if we wanted to add something in the future, we wouldn't have to go a couple of thousand feet?
Try to do it as, you know, you try to keep your fibers intact as possible, and you don't want to have splice points every
10 feet or something.
Exactly, like that. Because that just degrades the whole system. Yeah. So they try to do it whenever possible. You try to maintain your fiber. But, yeah, they purposely put in splice points at key points where it makes sense. You don't have to bring fiber all the way back.
Okay.
Whether it's crossing a road or something like that.
I think it's going to be important for me. We need to hear from Brian on how he wants to get across this road for this easement that we have here.
What road is that?
Come across 28.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I have that on the big map.
Need a ground dog.
This is just a bigger version of that. So I think, you know, so the fiber's running down through here.
The fibers are the green is right here.
Yeah, yeah, oh, it is.
So this is, yeah, so we could come out here. I mean, this is easy digging coming through here.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a, yeah, that's what we're proposing is there's a pole right there.
Yep.
You'd have to license to that pole. I don't think we're on that pole, so there's a cost that he figured in already. But, yeah, then if you're digging a trench, you're just coming right up. Or, you know, if we came up this way, there's no poles here, so we could do whatever. But, yeah, the fiber comes right down like this and then up like that. So we would have to – we have some 24-strand fiber up to here and then up through –
Does that cross through 28 now when you come up?
Yeah, our fiber comes right across and goes up through here. So we've got 24-strand fiber right here. So we'd come up from the back side and then come in, which would be substantially cheaper than licensing these poles.
Yeah.
Although, I think that was the initial idea. But if we're changing out this fiber because we've got fiber, the fiber goes through here as well.
So you're making that a bigger cable.
We're making that a bigger cable. We can come right in just like the power. And
Is that ours, that little strip there? Is that water coming?
This one here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my question, because there's a really interesting access point.
We have an easement through there with a 12-inch pipe, I think. I'm going to refer to Chris, but I'm okay. Positive. We talked about this easement before.
Yeah. If you want to have Brian get in touch with me, you get my contact number,
sure.
Give him the guided tour, and put together a list of questions that we need from Chris.
Yeah, well, no, we'll come down. We'll get Brian and Frank, who did this plan for us today, come down and kind of go through it. And we literally would go through and walk the site and look at everyone.
Yeah.
If that's the direction you guys wanted to move, I thought it was a really good solution and made the most sense out of everything I'd seen. And the last thing I wanted you to have to do is wait for a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, to me, that was a huge factor.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years just to get the make ready done to.
I think it'll be up and ready by the time the tank's done.
So I'm going to tell you a story. I've been a commissioner almost 3 years now.
Okay.
The very first meeting I came to, we sat here and talked about this.
Yes.
And if this is going to go, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to wait any longer.
Well,
I share your frustration. I mean, looking at the files on my desk, I think one of the
reasons I got this is I get stuff done.
Yeah.
So we'll get this done.
We've never had an issue with having the microwave on. On the tank.
Yep.
The tank's been clear anyways, pretty much. We're not interested in more telecommunication on the tank.
Sure.
We're gonna make some other adjustments for telecommunication. We're gonna do some other stuff.
Okay. Well, you can put a cell tower over here and hook it up with fiber now.
You got one at your shop there. Send her on over.
I got a huge one right next to my building. I don't want them next to my building anymore.
She's going up.
Well, there you go. So then that's a good – you should talk with Brian about that, because if you are seriously going to put a cell tower someplace – so I'll tell you a little story.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we're in the process right now of building out fiber to 59 cell phone towers for one of the big providers. And they pay a substantial amount of money. I mean, they didn't pay to us. They paid to CapeNet. CapeNet's actually building the laterals. But all their equipment is in, like, my data center, and that's why I had to move the fiber yesterday, because they require – 50-foot diverse path. So if you're going to put a cell tower in here someplace, make sure you tell Frank and Brian if you think you have a vague idea.
You want this fiber to get closer.
Well, it's in your own best interest.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to put a cell tower someplace, you're going to want it, because the way it works is when you make a cell phone call, it goes to the tower, and then the signal is connected, the tower's connected to whether it's copper or fiber, but these nowadays you want to all be fiber. That's called the backhaul. The more backhaul you have, the more data you can move. And then you drop less calls, and your service is better. It's not necessarily more powerful.
Could you theoretically charge more to carry then if you had fiber optic service?
If you had a cell phone tower here that already had fiber to it, so I can tell you right now, the company, I can't say their name, you know, we're building, I don't get the money, it does, 59 towers. They paid over $5 million just to build that fiber into them. So
there's a purpose in the point right there. That
the value of the fiber to those towers is substantial, because it makes for a better product. So they're going to want to be on those towers. So it'll help you get into those. So I was talking to Frank about that. He knows a lot about cell towers as well.
We've been battling the radio and
emails for a long time and head in the direction of fiber optics on our own.
Yep.
I mean, you know that that's the way to go at this stage of the game. You put it in, but we want you to play, and we'll work with you on
sure.
our tank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it gives you a great start. Whether you decide to be a municipal network down the road, like Falmouth has done, like Brewster's done, which are great things. I mean, there's a way to handle it. The problem with the municipal network is when they just use the municipal license, you can only use your fiber. And this is important to know, just to think about town business. You can't use it for profit scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only shortfall in that. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. You can create a municipal thing, hook it up to the Open Cape Network, and boom, hook it up to the RAM.
So we, and also, not to belabor it, I'm sure we can talk about this further, but you guys, you wanted to have your own generator in there, like the tank and all that.
Well, we did.
We're already pretty much set in place, that's
right.
What we were going to do.
Right.
For, remember, there was a pad set up for, there's a pad there already, or no, there's no pad.
Of which tank?
At the new tank, Yep,
there is a pad there.
Yeah.
Okay, we just have an extra. It's the tank's only single phase. We have three phase. We have room for another panel there if we need it. There's two additional conduits there. I mean, there's room for additional infrastructure. We just built that in as a safeguard. So if you need something there,
all we would need is just the generator. We need a generator. So we put a generator there to, because obviously if we're utilizing the network, probably not going to be power. So.
That was something
yep.
you guys just wanted to get
in
there
and
rock and roll.
Yep. And do you have a generator there now?
There's a temporary
generator up there.
There.
Okay.
So
do you think it's realistic by next month to have a set of plans and a draft
agreement? I have a call scheduled with Brian already because he wanted to know the result of this.
Yeah.
So I have a call scheduled at 9 o'clock. So I'll ask him that question. I'll shoot you an email at 5:10.
I'll expedite it if he can, whatever date and time, will make it work.
He's doing work. He's on the Cape right now. They're heading out to Nantucket to start building their municipal network right now.
Okay.
But they're still on the Cape.
Between Christmas and New Year's, it's pretty full in our office. So that would be a great time if he's available to make that happen.
And he might just send Frank. We get Frank and Brian. That'd be great.
Sure. What's Christmas schedule between Christmas and New Year's? Is he in? Do we know? Is he off? So between, okay, so Christmas is on Friday, so that's next week. So let's I think that'll probably be a great week to keep this going.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
I promise we'll get this done.
Sounds like good news.
I share your frustration. Imagine my world where this scenario has occurred multiple times.
Kind of a Christmas present if this comes around. Yeah.
No problem. I'll give you guys my card in case you want to call me one pizza. No.
Yeah, we have to find a splice point. Keep something ahead with it.
I'll just give you my card. My cell phone's on there. You want to call? You want to pitch at me?
Thank you.
He returns phone calls too. I can vouch for that.
Well, I think it's out of my spam. I didn't talk. What do you see here?
Yeah. Thank you again.
For coming.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So we can all agree that's some encouraging news.
Very encouraging
for that budget. If we can get everything done, I think the first.
I'm smiling on the inside.
The first quote that Katua got was something like $1 million, and that was from the guy in the suit with the clean shave. So,
sometimes
the baseball cap is struck.
I'll tell you, Russ, it's really important, too, that we try to get this guy tagged into this cell tower, too. Because the fiber optic on the cell tower is going to make us some money.
I got to come back to it. I have the cell phone tower on here. Let me go through the tank update real quick.
Okay.
Work has commenced. We got about 75% complete of the shop line. We're looking at the same shop line now. Really nothing exciting to report on. It's business as usual. They got the new 3-gate cluster in down at the tank. The property off the tank is offline now. It is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after New Year's, we'll be taking that tank down. The weather allowing, in springtime, we'll be shipping in the new tank. We've got a staging area set up where they can use some flatbeds.
Yeah.
Across the port lights placed down there. So things are starting to come together. I had a little bit of a concern with the condition of that road going in, the one residence that's down there. So the contractors were aware that we'll be addressing that. I guess I can move back in a week or two. But before they come back, that will be done at home.
So it's moving.
Did we actually go down in there? I know it's this is water over the dam. Did we let them know that we were going to be working in there before we get in there? Good boy.
Yeah,
thanks, Russ. Thanks.
We're meeting next Monday with USDA. We have the whole group coming down. A bunch of engineers going down. We're almost like 90% complete with the application. Very soon we'll be sending over the president of the items that we just can't answer.
Yeah.
Try to do as much as we can, but there's certain financial things that even when engineers do it, when financial people don't. So that's part of the reason why I'd like to have a treasurer and USDA talk face to face. There's very specific. But it's coming together very nicely. We've added a third project into it, the land acquisition, I believe, for $235,000.
Right.
So fire district and both water
retention. Right. Yep.
Mike Ford asked us to include that. So the three projects, $2.1 million, $180,000 for the security, $235,000 comes up to about $2.5 million, $5,000. The USDA's number cap is $2.5 million. So
we're there.
We're there.
Okay.
We're there. That's a good thing. The cell phone proposal. I put a proposal together. Our company hasn't done, per se, the development of a cell phone RFP. We've developed numerous RFPs. So the upper level management insisted on some review time, insisted on some QAQC standards, which was what it was. I knocked the price down as much as I could, but at the end of the day, our cost of development proposal was $1,535. I would argue that that's the development of a proposal. I mentioned to Chris that you're not going to hurt my feelings to seek another quote from the vendor. There's certain things that, you know, I can say that, you know, the cost for us doing the same is $25, and someone else may say 60, but I would argue that, that our value and attention to details worth that. But something like the development of an RFP is a fairly routine task, and you may find another firm that could do it for $3,000.
Yeah.
And it's at the end of the day, you just put down an RFP. I'll be on board each step of the way to advise and to talk, make sure the fiber off and make sure it's certain things. We have a good budget left for the tank project, so I can review the proposal with Chris and just get a second set of eyes on it, make sure all these little fiber things are in there. But I ask Chris to, if you know, don't get me wrong, I'd be more than happy to do it for that price. I can't come much lower than that, though. And I don't know if there's, you know, some people are going to say, well, how do you know you're getting your best price?
Okay.
That's for you guys to think about, and either way, we're definitely interested, and we'd love to do it.
Okay.
But we understand the program here. So I think things are starting to move pretty quick by this summer. Probably we should have a lot of, not a busy cell phone tower. I mean, I think that is a year to 2 year process.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty neat news to hear that there is fiber optic is your potential to have better revenue increase.
That's a great question.
I know the town of Longmeadow, I want to say, had 5 cell carriers, and they were still getting $7,000 a month after the cell tower kept their fee.
Yeah.
So I know it's probably, I don't know how much you're getting now between the three companies, something, $10,000 a month. So there's, at this point, I don't expect it. But we'll obviously want to maximize it. Maybe a few more carriers would be interested. I think the tower's carried up to 5 carriers, and now there's fiber off of here.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else has.
Yeah.
I think it's the way to go. I get them off the tank, anyways.
Yeah. And I think so. Not going to be up for too much longer, so.
Yeah. Okay, Russ.
Now I told Chris about a company that was putting in a cell tower in Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the name of the company. They came in, and their towers, they make them to look like flagpoles.
As opposed to the tree ones.
So he said, you know, we could either have actually with a flag on it or without. But it didn't look like the type you see all over the place with all these arms out and all these things sticking up in the air.
And that's, you know, I just don't know enough about it to know the different styles of building. Are those truly cell phone towers? Are there different forms of communication? You see the towers of police, public safety stations, and there.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of them.
Need to get one that looks like Big Bird.
This was a town of Halifax. They're repainting their tanks and they're going to take their. And there's
up, but is this kind of where it had a base and they put up this temporary tower? Was it something that
it was something that was about that big around at the base.
Yeah.
It was just a cylindrical, and they haven't really got to the full length of it up yet. Yeah. They went up as high as wherever they brought this last time, and they were from like Tennessee or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm. And they put them up all over the place.
Sure, and you know, I don't know quite how much space in these need. Yeah. But here's the picture of the base of it there.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So if you're up in the Halifax area, they just repainted that tank. It's pretty good. Anyways, but we can get into that detail. I mean, that was one of the tasks that I had listed in RFP was to meet with industrial communications, for example, some people that are about to break, and they can give you the full tour of different tank styles. They can sort of come down and talk to us.
Yeah.
Either way, if that goes out and you do get another quote, I would just have some tank manufacturer, tile manufacturers come in and talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
Is fiber going to help you out? Is it not going to help you out? So all the questions.
Yeah.
Well, with six strands of fiber, you got plenty there. We weren't even talking about that originally. We're talking about four strands of fiber and having plenty left over. So.
I think he's motivated to get it done.
Yeah.
That was the first time I seen that number tonight just before we sat down and showed it to me.
Yeah.
You can make that happen. I don't know.
Having a buffer, I don't think it hurt at all. I mean, the way technology moves. Well, what do you say? The
buffer on the price, still.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But if it's cheaper than going with more capacity.
I mean, you know what we looked at down there when we went to Chatham, Russ, and looked at that that facility. That is just spectacular. You know, being able to see what's going on in your whole system.
Yeah, it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
Any idea how much fiber comes into the 911 here in the Cape on the base?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that might be a good question. You know, because I think that all comes into the base fire station, doesn't it?
You mean the county shaft there?
Yeah.
I don't know if it all comes in there. The state police are the ones that I think have most of it into the 911 services, and then they have things that are from there.
Yeah.
They're what they call PSAPs, primary answering points.
I don't know what that.
All right, Russell.
Knowing that would help.
You're doing good.
So just before you leave us, I was wondering if there's any more any update on the solar discussion.
Last I spoke, I believe we still did deliver an RFP, and Jen, I don't know if it did. Have you seen anything come through? I believe it was finished.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to say there might have been one or two very minute details, but I can.
No, I just want to know how it's going, that's all.
No, I know. It's not done. It's 99%.
Okay, very good.
There's progress.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right here. We just.
Just the one responder? More than just one responder to.
Well, we haven't put it out yet.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's very close.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. What kind of timelines are you going to put on that for response?
Usually 30 days you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
System, yeah.
Well, they extended the time frame for us to be involved, right? Yeah. Correct, into 2017?
Yeah.
So we have a little, we were originally at 2016, but they extended it, so we bought a little time there. So.
Now, is that time on the upon completion or upon commitment? Okay.
Was Visco on the jobs himself, Mike?
Mike Visco was not with John Madden. It was apparently John Madden's father, Mike Visco Sr., started the company.
Yeah.
And I've been dealing with John ever since day one. Mike Visco, he did come down. I'm sorry, he did come down the first day. And then was lost.
So he's on a job in Providence, Rhode Island right now. I saw that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the crew was, other than some minor things that we got very quickly.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Russ, thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
You too, Bob.
Yeah, have a great holiday.
All right. All right, then last but not least, new business.
We got the leak adjustment rate from the Kardashians and the Ingrams.
Sure.
What was it?
There's some leakage here. There was quite a bit of leakage.
Over a million gallons. Over a million gallons.
There we go. Now it's on. So, over a million gallons of water. They've still been dealing with the cleanup and dealing with their insurance company, but Mrs. Kerry Dacus has been in pretty constant communication with us.
Is that right?
So you can see.
1,314,000.
Where's that all?
So their original bill was $3,824. Their average usage is only 36,000 gallons. So when you double that, which is what we consider for the leak adjustment, that's 72,000 gallons, the leak adjusted rate would bring it down to $598.78 for them. Oh, I haven't gotten to them yet. Yep.
Did they put signs out there?
Did they?
We have to put signs out there and the water off.
I know.
It is. Not, well, it's a loss of water for us, but it's also a huge cost to the people because they're out of a house.
Yeah. Even
they
clean.
I think they use their residents from time to time over the winter, which is why they didn't turn off.
I don't feel like most of these that we review that are, to me, are reasonable to adjust. I haven't seen too many that we haven't done for a first time for anybody. I just wish more would, I just shut the water off and get it figured out.
I can certainly include that in the letter to them.
They would lose home, It's just, if you go away, maybe we could put that someplace,
Yeah. That there's negligence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, okay.
Make a motion that we grant
the leak detection rate. What's it? Kerry Dacus?
Kerry Dacus.
Kerry Dacus?
Yes, that's the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The second letter you have is a little bit different. It's probably a name that two of you will remember from last year, Mr. and Mrs. Ingram. They have a pit and a line that goes under their driveway, under their front steps, into the middle of their house is where their service comes in. Last year they had a leak in the pit that we discovered when we did the readings in October. They had it repaired. Shortly after, they were notified and contacted Roderick Construction again because the connection that was repaired burst, so they put a locking fitting on it. So we knew that their leak adjustment was going to carry over into the new water billing year. They sent us in all of the information. They thought everything was fixed. We did their water reading again this October, and they had another million gallons of usage. We did another reading. We did some monitoring. They were using up to 5,000 gallons a day. The water was leaking underneath the house. So we did a service replacement last week and replaced the whole line. So we know that it has been fixed permanently now. Well, with the new water service. But there is there was some carryover from the previous leak. There was a new leak this year. And because the service was just replaced this December, there'll be some carryover into the coming year as well. They've used over 400,000 gallons already since the October 5th reading.
Obviously, when there's a series of problems somewhere, you would think it would be the smartest thing to do to go all new from A to Z, like it ended up being done now. Did they drop the ball on that? Did we drop the ball on that?
I believe when Roderick did the repair, remember, I'm the office manager. I don't get the technical part, but they inserted plastic through the existing service all the way up to the front steps, but they weren't able to go any further than the front steps to get under the house and into the service that comes up in the middle of the house.
Whose decision was that to...
What usually takes place is they pull a line through that existing pipe. It's called pulling a line through there. It's called a line puller. It's 100-foot of cable or 75-foot of cable, and then you have a link that just locks that pipe onto the backside of it, and they pull it through with the backhoe.
Okay.
And it just cuts its way through the existing pipe, pulls the new pipe through that, and then they hook back up. Looks to me like they've got a fitting issue is what happened there. You know, so.
And that would be the construction company that put it, that fitting in?
Well, we hire a company to do our repairs. That's what we do. We hire Bortolotti or somebody like that to do the repairs. Mm-hmm. I think Bortolotti was last year and this year?
And this year.
Yeah.
But the repairs that Roderick did, they were hired by the Ingrams to do that service.
Right.
How much did we do last year?
Last year was about a $5,000 adjustment. Their bill, they had over 3 million gallons of usage last year. It was an $8,000 bill, and it adjusted down to, I think, around $3,000, which they paid in full. This year, the adjustment isn't as big. Because it's only a million.
Bortolotti, if it is the case in here, has no responsibility to make sure a repair is adequate, I guess is the word. I just don't know how this works. I'm not saying that.
We don't have a policy in place that actually tests a water service as opposed to a main line, which would be 6, 8, 10, 12, mm-hmm. where we would do a test tap. Then we would fill it up with water ourselves, we'd chlorinate it, and we would test it. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. All we have is that you turn it back on.
Nothing comes up.
You eat your pizza and you look at it and shake your hands off and you go down the road. There is no policy. And we don't have to feel like the Lone Ranger. There is no policy like that in any town.
Okay.
They make all repair. Every repair is just like that. There's nobody testing that. It can be a 300-foot run, a 2-inch pipe. And
so there's no pressure testing?
No. No. And they do blow off. Fittings do blow off. If they're not butted up properly, if that brass tube nut is not butted up properly against that fitting, the fitting body, it's going to blow off.
Yeah.
But if it's put together properly, you need a lot more than 10 white horses to get that apart. It's not coming apart.
I sincerely hope it doesn't come apart at this place anymore.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
So do they.
I mean, you have good questions, Vic, in terms of who's responsible for that, and that maybe is something for us at a later date, but...
Yeah,
I think maybe on this one we're going to have to bite the bullet.
Well, I agree with you, but I think when we're not talking about individuals or things, we're looking at the general policy is.
Yeah. It's not our. I mean, we don't sit here to try and wipe these guys out when we have water issues. It's not what we're trying to do. We just it costs money to process that water. That's why we have it. So.
Just keep in mind as you make your motion that they'll have carryover into the next water usage year as well for about 400,000 gallons.
Yeah,
we have meters.
Sure.
My meters in my house.
People change them. People move houses. People do all kinds of stuff, you know. And you know, they don't even know where the water is. They'll do stuff. They don't even call you, ask you where the water is, and just get it done. We're just lucky it's buried 5 feet. Well, lots of times it can go right underneath the slab and come up. And the reason that they may do that is because they wanted it. We don't want it to happen in the beginning. We never do it in the beginning. But they may want to take it to some other room that they want to have their meter and other connections, fire service or fire protection. And, you know, some people have sprinklers in their houses, you know, so they put it in. They try to move it to a corner of a house someplace. You can actually shoot this, what's called a mole, you know, right underneath your whole house and pull the pipe to the other side of the house. They dig a hole, they dig another hole on the other side, and they send this through. Yeah, it's pretty cool, but...
I guess I'd make a motion to go ahead and do the
leak adjustment.
Covers on this
carryover, or
I'd make a second motion that we kind of discuss this from this point forward, what our policy is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one motion at a time.
Okay.
Second motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Proof for both. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Chris.
Assistant water superintendent. That spot's open. It's right there in the top. See it?
There's a whole new job description.
Wait a second. Where is that thing? Where's that?
Let's see that. Got a lot of work done today.
Assistant superintendent. You get no dollars.
We need a secretary now. Get any licenses? We spent about $5 million, but we're okay. No, we did good. The tank is doing good. It's all started. Everything's underway. Looks like we have our security system is on track, and maybe all the time that we held out, we probably did the right thing. And end up saving us a lot of money because
big fund
for
money.
Just didn't knuckle under, which is a great thing.
Man.
Well, it's going back even further than that. So
I know it was before that too. And he's been listening.
We'll see. We have moved forward to do it ourselves anyway, so it'll eventually be done. But maybe at this stage of the game, we'll get this thing accomplished. And then the funding, the grant, the FDA funding is looking good, and that could be great for the community. It could be great for the community because it's going to pay part of the buying of the property over the ballpark, and it's going to pay for the security system.
What is
FDA? It's
USDA.
The USDA.
U.S. Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. The good guys.
And they have some money available for us.
Okay. So. And we qualify.
And we qualify. All right.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, that was very good. The only caveat, I mean, there's no caveat, but the real, probably the crux of it is that you're to get that 2.5, to get the 500,000, you're going to have to spend the 2.1.
We're going to spend what we said we're going
to. We have to spend what we allocated.
We're going to spend in order to get the money. Extra money.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to spend our
own. And that
has
to be used for infrastructure stuff.
Okay.
Just out of general interest, did they finally get the money for the ball field?
I don't know whether they've completed their section. They're good. Okay. Good. Good for them.
The last report we had when Litchwinkle came in, she said they did, and they didn't.
We actually have it in place without the USDA funding, but. The funding would be great to have. Yeah.
So make a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to.
Next meeting? Are we having another meeting?
Yeah.
They come up another meeting.
The meeting. They come every month.
Since I don't have to worry about working nights anymore, the 21st is okay with me.
Should be fine. Mm-hmm. 21st to Friday or something?
It should be Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine. 21st it is. Third Thursday.
Same
place. So, before we leave, maybe, Chris, or you, Mike, could touch base with
Rick. He may have a current copy of that lease.
That a lease agreement. The most current one. I don't...
This may be the most current one?
Is that for T-Mobile?
No, this is for the Open Cape.
Open Cape contract.
This is for the Open Cape. This may, if it is, great. If it's not, let's at least get in our hands the most current one. This has a lot of corrections on it, and we can all go over this thing. I read over it. It's unfortunately for the guy, for me, it's like I wash sometimes all this stuff in here, you know, and I try to put it together and make some sense of it, but. You guys might want to go over it, Vic, yeah. Especially you might be able to go over it. You're probably more familiar with contracts than I am, anyways. And that was Rick was our ace in the hole when it came to that this business here.
Yeah.
He was spectacular. What's that?
Okay.
This has got a date on it. He'll come back with a change so that we can have that pipe in.
This is August of 13.
Yeah. So. I don't think there was one much later than that, I'll tell you that, because we walked away from them about then. But just in case, Jen. Because you've got corrections on here from Rick, and I'd go ahead and make sure we utilize those corrections that he put on here.
Okay.
And then our Mr. Boudreau will have to review that. Okay. All right. You ready? All those in favor?
Aye.